ברוכים הבאים רבותיי, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class, חודש טוב ומבורך, and I'll take this opportunity since I didn't see you in a while to wish you all שנה טובה ומבורכת. As we begin the new מחזור in Tavshin Ayin Chet, the parasha of the week is Noah. However, we cannot hide the fact that it coincides with Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Our custom is we say Mar Cheshvan. Many different interpretations of why we call it the Mar Cheshvan, which seemingly means bitter, the bitter month of Cheshvan. So some have said, as brought down in Sefer HaTodeah, that there are no holidays officially in this month. There are no days off. If you're a school student in the school, you know how bitter it is that you look at the calendar in Cheshvan and you don't get one day off. Clearly it's Mar Cheshvan. And there are no holidays in the month as well. Some have said that it's because it's the beginning of the rainy season. The word mar would mean a drop. Hen goyim kemar medeli. The goyim are like a drop in the bucket. So mar can mean water. So it's the rainy season, mar cheshvan. Others yet have said that the reason why it's Mar Cheshvan is because it was in this month that Yerobam ben Nevat rerouted the Jewish people from Jerusalem in order to go worship Agalim, golden calves, that he had set up in the north and the south of Israel. So he switched the month of Tishri from being the holiday of Aliyah LaRegel to Cheshvan. In Hebrew, Lehamir is to switch. Timura. So therefore they call it Mar Cheshvan, the month that was switched. The month that Timura was made by Yerovam ben Nebat. So everybody has their opinion why the prefix Mar to Mar Cheshvan. Others have said that it is because it commemorates the Mabul. If you look in this week's parasha, we know that the Mabul began in the month of Cheshvan. Actually, the Torah tells us on the 17th month day of the month of Cheshvan, although the 17th historically is a great day. That's my birthday, as many of you know. But it's also the commemoration of the day of the Mabul. That's when it started. So therefore the destruction of the world happens in Cheshvan. So therefore it's Mar Cheshvan. It's a bitter month. The world was reset. The deluge came in Cheshvan and destroyed all of mankind, less Noah and his family on the Teva. And therefore it's the greatest tragedy since the creation of the world. Never had where the world was destroyed. We've had parts of the world been flooded, and parts of the world got to be under catastrophe, but this was the highest level of catastrophe. Therefore they call it Mar Cheshvan. My problem was as follows. Let's go with that. It's to commemorate the flood. Mar Cheshvan. The bitter month of Cheshvan. And incidentally, it'll always come out that we'll read Parashat Noah on the Chodesh Cheshvan, next to Cheshvan, few days into Cheshvan, right before. They'll always coincide, the reading, with the month. My problem is, and this is what I'm trying to grapple with tonight, as I've told you many times, Rabbeinu Ari assigned a code to each of the 12 months of the year. the code is based on God's name, Yudke Vavke. The Yudke Vavke is able to be configured into 12 different configurations. And every month is influenced by another one of those configurations. Starting from Nisan, which is the first month of the year, it's Yudke Vavke. It's straight. But after that, every single month has a different configuration. Iyar, for example, would be Yud, He, He, Vav. It's the second configuration. We go through the whole year as such. When you come to the month of Hezban, which we're beginning tonight, the configuration as I have it is Vav, He, He, Yud. What's the importance to know this? It is important. Because if you know the name of the month, and you have the Kavanah in the appropriate place, which is tomorrow during Musaf, when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Rashech Hodashim, the Arizal says when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you think of God's name Yud Kevavke, because that's the simple Kavanah, and then at that point over there you have the Kavanah of the configuration of the month. So therefore tomorrow you'll have the Kavanah of Vav, He, He, Yud. You just think of it in your mind, and the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Asagevehu, I will protect the Jew. Why will I protect him? Ki Yadah Shemi, because he knows my name. And that's referring to the name of the month. Some of us have Sidurim that already give us the Shem for every month, so we're able to have the proper Kavanot. But if you don't have the Sidur, at least you'll do in Hashvan, you have it. I'm giving it to you tonight. Vav, He, He, Yud. Now, what he also did, Rabbeinu Ari, he assigned each month with a Pasuk. So not only do you have the Shem of the month, you have the Pasuk of the month. The genius of the Pasuk of the month is that the Pasuk that's chosen actually has the configuration either in the first letters or the last letters of the Pasuk. So if you can look at the Pasuk, you'll see the code in the Pasuk. I'll give you the example that he gives for Nisan, which is the easiest one. Chazak Baruch, Yismihu HaShamayim V'Tagel HaAretz. You can't get easier than that. Yud Ke Vav Ke, Yismihu HaShamayim V'Tagel HaAretz. And then he goes through each one of the months, and he gives a Pasuk. So in this month, the Pasuk, actually it's two Pasukim. It's the end of a Pasuk and the beginning of a Pasuk. It's in Parashat Ki Tavoh, for those that are tracking these sources. It's in Ki Tavoh, it's in Perech Chavav. It's the end of Pasuk Ted Vav, and the beginning of Pasuk Ted Zayin. The last word of the Pasuk of Ted Vav is Udvash. You know, Eres Zavat Halav, but we don't need those words. Eres Zavat Halav, Udvash. Well, the U is the Udvash, that's the Vav. The next Pasuk begins, Hayom Hazeh Hashem. Hayom Hazeh is He He, Hayom Hazeh, and Hashem, Yud Kevavke is a Yud. So there you have it. Udvash Hayom Hazeh Yud Kevavke. Hazak Baruch. Now that doesn't excite anybody, but it poses to me a big problem. Because you think that Arizal was just giving us acronyms so you can have a remez to remember the Shem of the month. But it's more than that. In the remez of the Pasuk has to be the DNA of the month, or the theme of the month. They were not just picking random Pasukim. Why would the Torah have the configuration of Hezban in those Pasukim unless that those Pasukim somehow are connected to the month? And therefore it's incumbent upon us, and we should do this every month to be honest with you, that we should look at the configuration, and we should go back to the Pasuk, and then try to figure out how the Pasuk is related to the month. And then we start to we go into the guts of the month. We get to the DNA of the month. So my problem was, you're telling me it's called Mar Heshvan, and then you tell me the configuration Udvash, which is sweet honey. I mean, if I was giving a configuration to this month, I would find somewhere in Korban Pesach, on Matzot, or Marorim, Yocheluhu. Marorim, Maror, there. Find somewhere where we talk about bitter herbs, Porei Rosh Vela'ana, all these type of, foul-tasting food. Instead, for the month of Cheshvan, which is Mal, the source pasuk is Udvash. This was a question. In order to explain it, to crack the code, we go back to Parashat Noah. In the beginning of Parashat Noah, Noah is referred to Ish Tzaddik Tamim. God calls him a Tzaddik. God calls him a Tamim. I don't know, in the English it says, Noah was a righteous man, and he was perfect. Although when I turn the page, and it's only one page later, when God tells him to go onto the Teba, God says to Noah, "Vayomer Hashem leNoah, bo ata v'chol betecha l'teba, ki otecha ra'iti tzaddik lefanai b'dor hazeh." Noah is only called a tzaddik at that point. Make up your mind, is he a tzaddik tamim or is he a tzaddik? This is a old question. Hachamim already dealt with it. Hachamim say the famous answer that miksat shevacho befanav vechulo shelo befanav. That when you're praising somebody, in front of him, you don't give him the full praise. You discount it. You don't want him to become bloated. You don't want him to become, high on himself. So when God's talking to Noah, God tells Noah, yeah, you're a tzaddik. But in the narrative, in the beginning of the parasha, where the Torah's giving us the resume of Noah, the Torah says, Noah is tzaddik tamim, what he really was. But it's cut in half when it's b'fanav. That's the simple interpretation that the Gemara says. It's a good lesson. In previous years, we said the derash of Rabbeinu Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, besides writing the Shulchan Aruch, has a small book of derashot. It's called Derashot Bet Yosef. And there, very, very thin book, but very, very big chadushim. So he says that tzaddik refers to somebody that's a tzaddik ben Adam l'chavero, and a tamim or tzaddik is referring to somebody that's tzaddik ben Adam l'chavero, correct. And tamim, he explains, is somebody that's pure in his emunah with God. Tamim tiyeh mashem elohecha. So he says Noah was both. He was a tzaddik ben Adam l'chavero, and he was tamim ben Adam l'makom. So he says Noah lived in two generations. Noah lived in the generation of the flood, and Noah lived in the generation of the palaga. In the generation of the flood, the main crime was ben Adam l'chavero, ki malea ha'aretz hamas. In the generation of palaga, their main crime was emunah. They were trying to fight against God. So in each one of the generations, Noah excelled in the midah that was opposite of the generation that he lived in. So the pasuk says, "Ele toledot Noah, Noah is tzaddik." In one generation he was a tzaddik, and in the other generation he was a tamim. And that's what the pasuk says, "Bedorotav." Bedorotav is plural. It's coming to tell me in his generations, in Dor HaMabul was a tzaddik, in Dor HaPalaga he was a tamim. So then it makes sense, says the Bet Yosef, that when God is telling him to go on the Teba, he tells him clearly, "Bo ata v'chol betecha l'dor, ki otecha ra'iti tzaddik lefanai b'dor hazeh." In this generation, you've only proven your tzaddik. The tamim is still ahead of you. So that's another way to reconcile the pesukim. However, there's a third reconciliation that is very dear to me. It's been said over by a rabbi called the Kerem Shlomo. Kerem Shlomo, he looks at the word tzaddik and tamim differently. He looks at the word tzaddik and he says, a tzaddik is, as it says, a perfect man, a righteous man. But that's somebody that is righteous to himself, where he is involved in his own spiritual perfection, his own spiritual elevation. He's a tzaddik, like we see people in the streets, oh, look at this guy, he's a tzaddik, go get a beracha from him. You see a humble man, you know, walking to himself, he has his head in the books. You have to interrupt him to get his attention, you know, give me a beracha, he walks away. That's a tzaddik. Says Kerem Shlomo, there's another level of tzaddik, that's a higher level, and that's called tamim. Tamim would mean perfection. That's a tzaddik that's not interested only in his self-perfection, but the perfection of the world. Tamim. Tamim means complete. The world isn't complete until all of Am Yisrael is believing in God and fulfilling the mitzvot and fulfilling their responsibilities. And therefore, the tzaddik has to reach a higher level, which is called tamim, which influences others, where he shares the wealth. Where it's not only that he saves himself, but after he saves himself, he goes out and saves others. Today, in the vernacular, they would call that kiruv rechokim. The person is mekarev others. That's tamim. And he brings a beautiful pasuk to prove the interpretation of tamim. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Torat Adonai Temima, Meshivat Nafesh. The Torah of God is Temima, the Torah of God is complete. When is the Torah Temima, when is Torah called the Torah of Tamim? When it's Meshivat Nafesh. Only when it returns souls. When the Torah is used to bring souls back to Yahadut, then it's called Torah Temima. Otherwise, it's Torah Tzaddik, Torah Tzaddik. But we're interested in Torah Tzaddik. And Noah says the Kerem Shlomo was a Tzaddik and he was a Tamim. He was both. I mean, that goes against everything we were taught. They always tell us that Noah, the problem was he didn't mekarev anybody. Nobody was attracted to him. He was on the boat with his whole family. Says the Kerem Shlomo, that's not the case. He says, initially, Noah was involved in Kiruv Rechokim. Initially, he went out and preached, and he pontificated, and he went out and tried to bring people back, but he was having a difficult time. They were a violent generation. They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And we'll soon see other reasons that Noah eventually decided that being a Tamim is not for him. And he went back to being just a Tzaddik. So the Kerem Shlomo learns like this. Ele toledot Noah, Noah is Tzaddik Tamim. Initially he was a Tzaddik Tamim. But then, over the 120 years that it took him to build the Teva, he shed the career of being a Tamim and went back to being a private Tzaddik. So God comes along and tells Noah, Bo el Teva, go in the Teva. The Al-Sheikh learns, I saw the Hatam Sofer as well, that going into the Teva is actually a punishment to Noah. Because if God wanted to save Noah, there's many ways to save Noah. The Midrash says that the Mabul, for example, was not an Eretz Yisrael. So God could have sent Noah to Eretz Yisrael for the year. And after it's all over, he comes back to wherever he was living. The fact that he has to go onto the Teva and be cooped up with all the animals, and the stench of the waste that was on the Teva, the Gemara says that when Noah was about to leave the Teva, he made a prayer to God, Hotzi'am Nimasgev. Hutsiyam Mimasger Napsi means, take me out of this prison. It was a jail sentence. The Teva was not some, you know, Caribbean cruise. The Teva was it was Yud Bet Chodesh, the Gemara says, and we know that the Mishpat of the Sha'im in Geinam is Yud Bet Chodesh. It's a sentence. He had to stay on the Teva for 12 months. It was a punishment. The Teva, when he got off the Teva, the Pasuk says, Vayesher Ach Nawach. When Noah got off the Teva, it says he was filled with Ach. Ach means with pains and anguish and troubles. Vayesher Ach. Why would he get punished to be on the Teva? Because God says, the way Al-Sheikh learns the Pasuk, Bo el Teva, go unto the Teva. You know why go on the Teva? Ki otecha ra'iti tzaddik lefanai. Because I see that all you are is a tzaddik. And God says, Bador hazeh, Al-Sheikh learns it rhetorically. In this generation that needs so much help, and you decided to be a tzaddik, what happened to the tamim, Noah? Initially you were on the right derech, you were bringing the people back, or at least you were making an effort. And if you would have continued, maybe you would have been successful, but you gave up. So he says, Bo el teva, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. Bo el teva is a punishment. Why? Because I see that you're only a tzaddik. Lefanai, in front of me, I'm interested in tzaddikim in front of the people. And then God says rhetorically, according to the Al-Sheikh, Bador hazeh, in this generation, out of all the generations that you decided to be private, everybody's a customer in this generation, besides your own family, every single person in the street needs kiruv. This is not the generation of tzaddik Noah, this is the generation of tamim. So therefore we see that Noah faltered in that respect. That his career of timimut was short-lived. In the beginning of the parasha, if you look at the Rashi, says, Noah was a tzaddik bedorotav. Rashi writes, Lefi doro haya tzaddik. Lefi doro, we always learn Lefi doro meaning, you know, relative to his generation, he was considered a tzaddik. You know, you compare him against the people he was living in. It's hard to explain it because, I mean, Noah was a Navi. I mean, not only was he a relative tzaddik, I mean, Noah was a prophet. I saw this week from Rav Shimon Schwab, he says that the Rashi is not coming to tell us that Noah was a relative tzaddik. It's coming to tell us what type of tzaddik he was, meaning, what was the sin of the generation? The generation of the Mabul was selfish people. They were only care about themselves. That's why it says, Kiman La'aris Hamas. Nobody cared about anybody else. Everybody just cared about themselves. If you only care about yourself, it means I don't care about your money, and I don't care about anything else that you own, you have no property. So therefore he says, Noah was a tzaddik lefi doro. According to the trait of the generation, that was Noah tzaddik. He was also a selfish tzaddik, lefi doro. It's a tzaddik lefi doro. Which means he took the trait of the generation and he just added the ingredient of tzaddik to it. But that wasn't enough. God says, I don't want you to, your tzidkut to be according to the generation, a selfish tzaddik. That's tzaddik lefi doro. I need you to be a tzaddik, not lefi doro. I need you to be a selfless tzaddik. And that was the claim that they all laughed against Noah, as great as he was. Hazar Shalom, every year when we come and we talk about Noah, he's a tzaddik, we were talking about great, 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 great men, the father of mankind, he started the world again. But Hachamim do point out this flaw, as we'll see further. The question that I asked, Noah, why did you stop? Why did he quit? Which means he understood. It's not like he understood Kiruv Lechokim. Of course he understood Kiruv Lechokim. Today, you know, anybody that has a few derashot in his pocket, boom, already he's making takes, his CDs, YouTube videos, he's, you know, standing on the rooftop saying all the hadushim that he knows, trying to bring back a few people. He's got six students, and the guy, oh, he brought back six people. No problem. So Noah understood Kiddush HaHokim, so he didn't understand it. But for some reason, he felt, not for me. What might be one of the reasons why Noah abdicated his role of being Tamim? I saw brought down in Sfarim. Oh, so that's a simple interpretation. That's how I always learned. I always learned what you're saying. Not that he didn't have enough strength, because he had a lot of stamina. He built the Teba for 120 years, and you see the stamina that he had on the Teba. It says in the Midrash that for 1 year, Noah says, he didn't sleep. Meaning he didn't sleep in a bed. He was up all night long feeding the animals, so his stamina was great. I always understood that the reason why he backed out from being the Tamim was, it was dangerous. If you stuck another Bajot, they're going to kill him. The Rav, to a certain degree, he has to go try to bring the people back, but if the people are going to be violent against him, but if that's the case, then you cannot claim it against him. So what's the claim against Noah? He should have continued being a Tamim, even at the risk of his own life? Hayecha Kodmi. But I saw another interpretation. It's based on the Gemara in Berachot. The Gemara in Berachot, strange Gemara, the Gemara says on that Memchet, it says that there were two young boys, eventually became great rabbis. Abaye v'Rabah, Abu Yad v'Kamed Rabah. They were sitting in front of their rabbi, Rabah. Abalu Rabah, Lemi mevarchin? Rabah turns to Abaye and Rabah and says, to whom do we bless? Amri le v'Rahmana. For answer, we bless God, Rahmana. V'Rahmana echa yatif. So they ask, Rabbi asks the boys, and where does God sit? Rabbi Ahbe Lishme Telala. Rabbi pointed to the sky or to the ceiling. He pointed up. Abaye Nafag Lebarra. Abaye walked outside. Ahbe Klepishmaya. And he pointed to the heavens. Interesting Gemara. Amar Lehu Rabbah, when Rabbah saw this, he said, Tarbaichu Rabbana Navitu. Both of you are going to become great rabbis. He saw something in that answer. And it seems it's two different answers. Whereas the first rabbi points to the ceiling in the Bet Midrash. And the other rabbi walks outside of the Bet Midrash and he points to the heaven, and Rabbah gets excited. Oh, ho! Both of you are going to be Tamid Achamim. And what did Rabbah see in this charade that these young boys, Abaye and Rabbah, are playing? I mean, they could have just answered them very simply, like they answered the first question. Nimi mevarchim l'rahmana. V'echa yativ b'shamayim. No, when it came to the hecha yativ, then already each one made some drama. Each one showed it in his own... in his own way. There was a rabbi called Magid Mikuznitz. He said the following derash. The Gemara in Shabbat is talking about Nerot Hanukkah. That's the next holiday on the calendar. By Nerot Hanukkah it says, Ner Hanukkah mitzvata laniho al petach beto mibachutz. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to place it on the outside of the house. Mibachutz. In the olden days, that's where they used to put the menorah. If you come to my house on Chanukah, you'll see I still put it outside. Like they do in Eretz Yisrael, you have a box, and you put the candles inside the box, and you cover the box and you put it outside like it was done in the olden days. The Gemara then says, "Ubishata sakana maniho al shulchano v'dayo." But in the time of sakana, in a time of danger, then you just put it on your table, put it on your kitchen table v'dayo. In the olden days, if you put your menorah outside, the goyim would come along and vandalize it. They would come along and vandalize the menorah and the people that were lighting the menorah. Shabbos sakana, you put it on your table. So the Magid Mekuzna said the following. The Ner Hanukkah represents the Torah. Ner Mitzvah, the Torah Or. He says, primarily, the Ner of Torah, the light of Torah, must be not inside. If the light of Torah is inside, nobody benefits from it. Only the people that are dwelling inside. But the problem is, there's a lot of tum'ah in the outside world, in the Rishut HaRabim. There's a lot of people that are influenced by the culture, by the society, and they need the light of Torah to shine on their lives. So therefore he says the purpose of Ner Hanukkah's mitzvatah, the main purpose of the Ner is Manicha mitzvah manicha al petach beto mibachutz. It's got to be outside. The purpose of the Ner, which represents Chochmat Torah, has got to be shining on the outside, in the chutz, to bring the people back. However, he says, sometimes it's Sha'at Sakana. What's Sha'at Sakana? Sha'at Sakana means, you know, sometimes a person will go out to be Mekariv. He'll go out and try to bring people back. But sometimes the society is so toxic that as a result of trying to go be Mekarev, instead of him being Mekarev them, they were Mekarev him. Which means, instead of making Kiruv Rehokim, the Rehokim made Rehok Kerovim. They took the guy that was cut off and they made him distant. So therefore, when the Tzaddik is concerned that maybe it's going to take away from his Kedusha and his level, so then the Gemara says, "Bishata sakana," where the person is concerned his own spiritual level is going to be compromised. Manicha shulchano v'dayo. Let him put it on the table and let it back out. Now I will tell you, there always is going to be a sacrifice when people have to go out and be mekarev. It's almost impossible to maintain the same spiritual level once you have to go out. Avraham Avinu, for example. The Gemara says that his wife Sarah was a greater prophetess than he was. When Avraham Avinu had a doubt, God tells Avraham, "Ask Sarah." And the Gemara says, because in prophecy she was greater. How could that be that Sarah was greater than prophecy than Avraham Avinu? The ladies have no problem with it, but the men struggle. How could it be that you tell me that Avraham Avinu, his wife Sarah, was on a high level of prophecy? So the Hatam Sofer answers, it's because where was Sarah all day long? In Ba'ohel. Sarah's inside. Mishata sakana manicho shuhano v'dayo. She's inside. She was not influenced by any of the outside. Where is Avraham Avinu, alav shalom? He was out. He was out going to be Mekarev the people, and he was with the people. He was the Ner Hanukkah that was Bahut. But as a result, he brought back people, but it compromised his level. But Avraham Avinu was willing to sacrifice from himself in order to bring back the people. That's the greatest level. That's the greatest sacrifice that a person can make, when he sacrifices himself in order to bring other people back. Ultimately, he's not going to lose out, because whatever he lost in himself, he made it back in 100 people or thousands of people. So at the end, he gave up 10% of himself, but he made hundreds and hundreds of percent of others. So therefore, ultimately, the profit is there. But there's some tzaddikim that they don't want to give up from their own levels. Oh, if that's the case, I once read a beautiful derash on the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Im pagam becha menuval zeh." if this minuval reaches up with you, who's the minuval? The Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara says, if one day this minuval catches up with you, what should you do? Moshe on the Beit HaMidrash. Bring him to the Beit HaMidrash. And I ask a simple question. How come you're not in the Beit HaMidrash in the first place? Where are you? Is he a great adventure? Is he the circus? What do you expect? You're in the circus, you're going to see the Yetzer Hara. Bring him to the Beit HaMidrash. Hey, my friend, you should have been in the Beit HaMidrash from the beginning. Ella, we must be talking about something that is not in the Beit HaMidrash. Once you're not in the Beit HaMidrash, you shouldn't be shocking Pagam Bechaminuvalze. The explanation is, no, he's a good guy. He started in the Beit HaMidrash. That's where everybody starts. But then he said, listen, mitzvata l'anicho mipetach beto mibachutz. I gotta go out and bring the people back. So he goes out on Kiruv. Oh, so what happens sometimes? When he's outside the Beit HaMidrash and being mekarev people, all of a sudden, pagav bekam menuvalze, all of a sudden he sees that the Yetzer Hara is getting him. He sees that this is Sha'at Sakana. He sees that instead of him bringing the people back, he's falling drastically from his level. In that case, the Gemara says, surrender. Moshel the Beit HaMidrash. Go back to the Beit HaMidrash and wait till Sha'at Sakana is over. Which means, the Gemara, the Mishnah said, we once made this diyuk in the Mishnah at the end of Pirkei Avot. The end of Pirkei Avot, it tells a story of a rabbi called Nabi Yosef ben Kisma. Mishnah reads like this. It says, Amar Nabi Yosef ben Kisma, Vamachat hayiti mehalech baderech. One time I was walking on the road, Upagabi Adam Echad, and a fellow greeted me, and he said, Meze Makomata, and I told them from a place of scholars, and then they offered me a job. And I said, I'm not interested. I only will stay in a place of Torah. Meaning he was being offered to go to a different community that it seems did not have any religion. So I once said, look what happened. Yetzer Hara is waiting for somebody to leave the Beit HaMidrash. Later on, I found it in the Midrash Shemuel, Rabbi Shmuel the Uzida says it. He says, Pam achat hayiti me'alech baderech. One time he left the Beit Midrash, upagavi, upagavi chamenuval, already one time he left the Beit Midrash, they call him. So it's a sakana sometimes to leave the Beit Midrash. And I guess the Yosef ben Kisma held, it's got to go back. It's too dangerous. If that's the case, the Gemara over here is incredible. These young scholars, Abayel Rava, Havu Yadve Kamed Rava, Amalu Rava, Lemi Mevarchin, Amalu Rachmana, they said to God, Verachmana Hecha Yatif. What kind of question is that? Verachmana Hecha Yatif. Where is God? Unless the question was a deeper question. Maybe they were. The question was that what is the approach? Yes, mevarchim rachmana, but hecha yativ. How are we supposed to establish the rachmana in this world? The purpose is to establish rachmana, hecha yativ. If we want to make a yeshuv for rachmana, how do we do it? So the first rabbi came along and he said, Yativ Rabba Ahver Lishmet Telala. He was sitting in the Beit Midrash. He said, you know how you establish Borei Olam in the world? He pointed to the roof of the Beit Midrash. You sit and learn. And then the next rabbi came along and he walked outside. And he pointed to the heavens. Which means the second rabbi came along. It's true. You have to learn. But after you learn, now you have to take what you learned and you have to bring it outside. And you have to bring it outside the Beit HaMidrash. Each one was complementing the other. The first rabbi says, before you could save others, you have to save yourself. A lifeguard cannot save people that are drowning unless he knows how to swim himself. But if a person is so eager to save people but he didn't learn how to swim, not only does he put other people in danger, he risks his own life as well. And then when the first rabbi came along and said, Hecha Yativ Rachmana, how do we establish Rachmana? in the Bet Midrash. He pointed to the roof of the Bet Midrash, the yeshiva. You have to learn. The second rabbi came along and said, true. But after you learn, now what? You continue learning and learning, eventually you have to go out. So he walked out, and he pointed to the heavens. When Rabbah saw these two approaches, he saw they weren't contradicting each other, they're complementing each other. He came along and he said, these two young tzaddikim, tarvaichu rabbanan havitu. Both of you are going to become rabbanan, great rabbis. Rabbanan means you're going to be rabbis of students, because you understand that that's the purpose, that that's what God wants. Starting in the Beit Midrash, and then to leave. But if that's the case, then maybe we can defend Noah. Noah began to teach the people, but he saw that the world was so toxic, and the world was so filled with the poisonous influences of immorality and thievery and selfishness. Noah saw that he would not be able to maintain the level. Noah made a decision that this is considered Sha'at Sakana. B'Sha'at Sakana Manicho al Shulchano B'Dayo, and therefore he gave it up. Not because Chatzoshim out of laziness. Not because his father's life was in danger. He felt that spiritually he cannot maintain the Madriga. However, our rabbis are very fast to point out that there was another tzaddik called Avraham, and he lived in also a very, very toxic generation. They all worshipped Avodah Zarah, and they were violent also, like Nimrod. And Avraham did not shun his responsibility. And that's why right in the beginning of the parasha, they come along and say, if he would have lived in the generation of Avraham, he would have been considered nothing. Which means, if Avraham had, because if he, in this generation he did nothing. So in Avraham's generation he would have done nothing also. He would have been the same. If he felt that his generation was toxic, he would have felt the next generation was also just as toxic. Avraham Avinu. And if he would have stayed in the Beit Midrash. Comes the rabbi called Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Chumash Hadat, the end of the third Perek, he says a tremendous Hadush. Vezu hayta midat Avraham Avinu, kemo shekatuv, God says ki yedativ, I love Avraham, lemaran asher yitzave et banav, vepeto acharav v'shameru derech Hashem. What does it mean? Ubiura katuv. Ki be'emet hayu bezmano kama ovdei Hashem. He says, Avraham is not the first oved Hashem in the world. Shaya bet midrash kadosh, Hashem ve'eved. You had the famous yeshiva, Hashem ve'eved. Anybody of any stature learned in yeshiva, Hashem ve'eved. Avraham Abinu learned in yeshiva, Hashem ve'eved. Yaakov Abinu was Yosef Ohalim, b'yeshivato Hashem ve'eved. Rivka, when she asks a question, she doesn't go ask her husband Yitzchak. Matelik Lidroshet Hashem, she goes to the yeshiva of Shem Be'eved. Shem Be'eved was the yeshiva of the time. So ask the Hafez Chaim, if that's the case, how come you don't hear anything about Shem Be'eved? All you hear is that yeshiva. What happened to them after that? What happened to their descendants? How come you need to look for Avraham? How come Shem or Eved does not become the founder of Judaism? What do you have to shout for a new tzaddik? You have them already. Shem ve'eved already from the times of Noah. Why does God need to find Avraham? The Hafez Chaim says, you had Shem ve'eved and they had a yeshiva, so they were religious. You know what he answers? He writes, Hayah bet midrash gadol shel Shem ve'eved, shehu b'madrigat nevi'im. He said, they were on the level of prophets. Rafa Pichen. Lo yatsam mehem umma, no nation came out of them. Or afilu mishpacha, even a family. Shetiskel avod laHashem. You don't hear anything about their descendants. Ve'lama ze? Al ken gilta lanu haTorah ta'amo shel davar. Torah tells us the reason. Ve'u mepeneh, שאלו כולם היו מגמתם רק שהם עצמם יעבדו את השם. They wanted to learn and serve God, but they wanted to do it inside. They didn't go out and bring people back. They sat in the bed with us. You want to learn? Baruch haba. But they didn't go out and promote it. They didn't go out and publicize it. You came to the yeshiva, they taught you. But if you didn't find the yeshiva wasn't going to find you. And therefore you had to stumble upon yeshiva Shem Ve'Eved by chance. Or, you know, if you heard somebody learned there. But otherwise they were not looking for customers. Says the Hafez Haim, that's why God did not choose Shem Ve'Eved. He says, Ki yedativ, you know why I love Avraham Avinu? Leman asher yitzaveh, because he went out and preached it. He was out and he brought the people back. Et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan, aval Avraham Avinu, shaya ohev ne'eman, yotzer mekulam, Avraham ohavi. Hitbonen ba'atzmo, he pondered, ma yesof ha-davar? Halo ha-adam lo yichye la-netzach. Person is not going to live forever. Umukrach lamut. And what's going to happen when I die? Im ken yitzbatel kevod Hashem. The glory of God is going to leave with me, and therefore I need to leave a legacy. Ve'al ken amal bechol kocho lefarsem elahuto ba'olam le'ayne hakol. So according to the Hafez Chaim, that's the difference between Avraham and Noah. Noah was a tzaddik in the house. Avraham was a tzaddik outside of the house. Shem Ve'Eved had a yeshiva. That's the first rabbi pointing to the roof. But they never went out and pointed to the heavens. That's the claim against Noah. You're right. It might cost you a level of prophecy. You might have to fall off. Noah wasn't willing to give up that sacrifice. He didn't want to give up that little drop of getting down. He didn't want to have any decline in his personal spirituality. Whereas Avraham Avinu said, if I have to decline a little, but guess what? It's worth it to take the decline, because if I don't mekarev anybody after his demise, there's nothing left. Then it's a total bankruptcy. Based on this, I explained, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, what's the reason why we're commanded to have children? Pirurhu. What's the reason? To keep the world going. What do you need the world going for? The world stinks. What do you need to keep the world going for? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, it's not to keep the world going. It's to keep mitzvot and observance going. Because the purpose of the world is what? For the Torah. The purpose is to keep the mitzvot. But in order to keep mitzvot, you need people, you need humans. Therefore the Torah comes along and says, Peru urvu, be fruitful and multiply in order to perpetuate, because you're not going to live forever. Therefore to perpetuate the legacy of Ovdei Hashem. Which is not just to be have children, to have children, to have 42 children. But if they're not perpetuating the way of God, you didn't fulfill the purpose of Peru urvu. The purpose is that after the father and the mother are no longer, but at least he continues a perpetuation of Yahadut, or even by the Goyim, the Sheva Mitzvot, whatever they're obligated in, but it's to perpetuate the service of God. Avraham understood that, says Tafetim. Avraham says, I'm not going to live forever, so what's going to be with me? And that's what happened. Guess what? Once Yeshivat Shem Ve'Eved, when Shem died and Ever died, that's it. You had a bunch of old men in the Kolel, they also died, and that's it, it was over. There was no infrastructure in bringing the people back, so he didn't have an army. When Avraham Avinu died, already he set it up where it's going to perpetuate. Already it's going to continue. And guess what? It's still continuing till today. It's 3,500 years later. And whatever Avraham Avinu established, we're not considered students of Shem Ve'Eved. We're considered students of Tamidosh of Avraham Avinu. And we're not considered Tamidav of Noah. But I made an observation. God wasn't so happy with Noah. Now he comes off the Teva. What's the first thing God tells Noah when he comes off the Teva? The first commandment. Pasuk says he comes out of the teva, semen ha-teva, vayetzeh, he comes out of the teva. God tells him, I'm not going to bring another flood anymore, you have to worry about it, put away your umbrella. And then he tells him, vayomer lahem, peru urvu, umilu et ha'aretz. What is he telling him? Have children, multiply. What do you mean? God already told that to Adam and Rishon. We know already Pirurvu. Pirurvu is already written on page one. This is a repeat. Well, everybody's got, so he knows already God told Adam and Rishon Pirurvu. Nothing changed. So he knows already what God told Adam and Rishon Pirurvu. Something changed? What? He saw after Mabul no Pirurvu? Now this is Mabul, that's it. No more Pirurvu. Pirurvu. What changed? Of course, Kabahomet Pirurvu. Explanation based on what we're saying now is Noah. You learned your lesson. You didn't mekarev one person. You didn't bring one person back. You forgot the reason why we have Pirurvu in the world. Pirurvu is to perpetuate it. You were not involved in perpetuating it. You only kept it to the inside family. Therefore, God has to tell Noah, again, this is a Musar. Peru Urvu, he has to repeat it to him. Remind him of the purpose of why you have to have children to continue, because you're not going to live forever. And based on the way you think, Noah, the religion lives by you and dies by you, and that's it. Hence the Peru Urvu is a stinging rebuke to Noah, to tell him, you got lucky. You got lucky, but nobody else survived it. Now go take two. Peru Urvu, make sure that you continue this legacy. Well, it wasn't continued in truth according to the Beit Chaim until Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu left the Beit Midrash and pointed to the heavens. That was the difference. If that's the case, the Baal Shem Tov, the great rabbi called Baal Shem Tov, he says on the Pasuk, Tadir katamar yiflach, ke'erez belebanon yisgeh. What does it mean? The Tadik katamar yiflach. The Tadik, he flourishes like the tamar. Tamar is the palm tree. Ke'erez be'lebanon yisgeh. His grace, like the erez, like the cedar. Says the Baal Shem to make up your mind. Is the tzaddik like a tamar, or is he like an erez? Obviously, says the Baal Shem, that David HaMelech is talking about two different types of tzaddikim. The tzaddik like a tamar and the tzaddik like an erez. And he goes on to say, an erez is a solid tree. It's a tall tree. It's a sturdy tree. It's a strong tree. It's majestic. Erez is one of the most strongest, sturdy of all the woods that we have, the erez. But one thing the erez does not have, it does not have fruit. The erez is good for itself, but it doesn't produce anything. So he says, there's a tzaddik that's like an erez. He's solid, he's strong, he's sturdy, he learns, he's good, but there's no perot. That's a good tzaddik, but he's himself. And then you have what he calls the tzaddik katamar. The tamar is a palm tree. What grows on the palm tree? Dates. And what comes out of the dates? Honey. The honey comes out of the dates. Which means the tzaddik tamar is the tzaddik that grows himself and then produces a sweet fruit. And therefore, even if the tree is no longer, but the fruits that he produced continue to exist, David HaMelech says, Tzaddik katamar yifrach. The yifrach means it flourishes. With that, he explains an unbelievable pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Bimkom shebaale teshuvah omdin, en sadikim gemurim yicholim la'amod." In the place where the baal teshuvah stands, the tzaddik cannot even stand in such a place, as if to say the baal teshuvah is greater than the tzaddik. Well, how do you learn it? How did you learn that Gemara? Is the baal teshuvah really greater than the tzaddik? I mean, you have a guy that's tzaddik his whole life, and you have some guy that's making avirot his whole life, and all of a sudden he became baal teshuvah. Oh, baal teshuvah, he's higher than the tzaddik. Hard to accept. I'm not taking it away from the baal teshuvah, but to say that the tzaddik can't even shine his shoes in the place of the baal teshuvah. Some explain it that it's all about mathematics. Because they say that every avera that you have when you make teshuvah turns into a mitzvah. So the baal teshuvah had more averot than the tzaddik had mitzvot. So if you just do the simple mathematics, if he's got 1,000,000 averot and the tzaddik's got 500,000 mitzvot, when the baal teshuvah makes teshuvah, so his 1,000,000 averot turn into mitzvot. So somehow in that sense, the baal teshuvah is greater. But I also don't accept such math. I heard once from my rabbi, Acham Baruch, Alav Shalom, he said a little differently. He said that you have some rabbis that, you know, they say things that are against the Torah. And they give different, hashkafot that are secular hashkafot, and then they get called on it. Until they were called on it, they're giving these dirashot, and they don't have a care in the world. Once already people start to get called them on it, and now their job is in jeopardy, so they say, oh, hatati aviti basati, I made teshuvah, but the teshuvah is fake. They're only making teshuvah in order to preserve their position, but when nobody's looking, they're going back to the old ways. So the rabbi would say, "Bimkom shebaale teshuvah omdim, en tzaddikim yicholim la'amod," because they will not stand in the same place as such a baal teshuvah, because he's a faker. So the tzaddik does not want to stand next to such a baal teshuvah, because he knows he's not genuine. And the rabbi, of course, said it in the context of a real event that happened. But the Baal Shem learns this Gemara wonderfully tonight. We always learn, what's a Baal Teshuvah? Somebody that had a sinful life and he came back. But maybe there's another interpretation. Baal means the one that's the master, the owner. A Baal Teshuvah means he's the master of bringing people back to Teshuvah. He's the Baal Teshuvah. He owns Teshuvah. He's the one that goes and publicizes teshuvah to the masses. That's the Baal Teshuvah according to the Baal Shem. So he says, the Baal Teshuvah is the Tzaddik HaTamar. And then you have the regular Tzaddik, the Tzaddik Heres. So he says, Bimkom Shebaale Teshuvah Omdim, in the place where the guy who's bringing people back to Teshuvah, and Tzaddikim Gimurim Yichorim Na'amot, those other Tzaddikim cannot stand. Because the Baal Teshuvah is on a much higher level. Because he takes what he learned in the Bet Midrash and he takes it out. If that's the case, now I understand the answer to my original question. True, the month of Cheshvan is Mar Cheshvan. You know why it's Mar? Because it's the month where God had to destroy the world. He destroyed it because the people were selfish. And because Noah was a tzaddik lefi doro, his tzidkut was a selfish tzidkut according to the nature of the generation. Noah was a tzaddik ka'erez. Noah was a tzaddik from the cedar. Atzeh lecha tevat atzeh gofer. You had to take from the gofer wood, which is a type of cedar. Noach is a sadika erez. Therefore God says, go take the wood that does not give any perot, and go build a teva from such wood, because that's who you are, and go lock yourself in such a teva. And the Rabbeinu Ari says, you know what the tikkun of Mar Cheshvan is? You have to sweeten Mar Cheshvan. And therefore, the way you sweeten it is, Udvash. The first word of the pasuk in the configuration is Udvash. Hayom Azeh Hashem. Udvash means you have to go from becoming a tzaddik ka'eres to becoming a tzaddik ka'tamar. Tamar is the tamar, the vash is the vash temarim. Eres zavat chalav udvash, it's not talking about subi honey, it's talking about not the honey from a bee, it's talking about the honey of the temarim that ooze out. The honey produces, the date produces a sweetness inside, and it oozes out, and that comes from the palm tree. And therefore, the Arizal was giving us a remez of how to make the mituk of Mar Cheshvan. The mituk of Mar Cheshvan, the mituk of Tzadik HaErez, must come to the Tzadik HaTamar, the Udvash. That it's not enough to point to the roof of the Bet Midrash. You must take the Ner Chanukah Mibachutz. Granted, there might be Sha'at Sakana, so temporarily Manichah Shulchano, but in Noah's generation, God felt he should have been willing to take the risk of diminishing his stature a drop for the sake of perpetuation. Like Avraham Avinu said, if I don't do it, it'll die with me, like it died with Shem Ve'ever. And therefore God has to tell Noah after Teret Evah, Peru Urvu, don't make the same mistake again. And that's the difference between why God chose Avraham and he didn't choose Noah, or he didn't choose even Shem Be'ever, the great Rashi Yeshivot. Because the Rashi Yeshivot that are in the yeshiva and they stay in the yeshiva, God says they're great, but they have to go out. Baruch Hashem, today the yeshivot go out. Baruch Hashem, today we have great Rashi, they go out. Baruch Hashem, in America, every Monday and Thursday we have another Rosh Yeshiva that's here visiting us, bringing students in, promoting students. They don't keep to themselves. On the contrary, they print seferim, they publicize their hadushim, they go out to all the four corners of the world to bring students, to try to convince them to come to the yeshiva. This is the yeshiva that we have in our generation. This is the ones that Borei Olam loves. But those that say, listen, I'm not interested, I'm only interested in my own self-growth, my own personal growth. David HaMelech said, no problem, you're an Erez. But an Erez, eventually you'll be confined. When the world goes to pot, the Tzadik HaErez has to take the Erez and build a Teva and suffer. But the Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach, and that's the Mituk of Mar Cheshvan. The mituka mar hashvan is done. Udvash. Hayom azeh Hashem yiratzom. We should be zoche. Teres mituk. We should be zoche to a chodesh tov. And be'azat Hashem will be zoche to not only serve God in the Beit HaMidrash, but to be able to take our Torah and bring it out and bring the people back, to be involved in not only kiruv atzmenu, but kiruv achanim la'avodato yitbarach. Amen. Ken yiratzom. רבי חנניה בן הקשה אומר, הסבא הקדוש ונעשה לפיכך, הרבה להם תרוס עצמם ונחפש למען צדקו, ירדיר תורה וידיר.